Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just met the top of the show to let you know about a few things. So Top 5 is coming out every single Monday over on Patreon. So make sure you are a Patreon subscriber to get a full episode of Top 5. And I've decided every Friday I'm going to release a little snippet of it. So you'll hear the full episode on the Monday. And then if you're not a Patreon subscriber, you'll hear about 5 to 10 minutes on Friday. Just so you know, all right, that's who it was. That's what it is. It's very funny. Maybe I should become a Patreon subscriber. This episode was recorded late on Wednesday, hence why it's up a little bit later. Thank you for everyone being patient. Damien's audio cut out halfway through, so we're going for the remainder. So the last half of it is just from the Zoom record. So that's why it changes halfway through. We're living in a pandemic. I've been in lockdown for, it feels like 18 months. So you understand. You're all cool. You're all nice people. So that's all I need to say about that. Hey, if you're a size small or medium in t-shirts and you want to buy a Don't You Know Who I Am t-shirt, you should. I've got them for sale. Go to joshua.com.au and you'll be able to find the merch there and I'll send it out to you. I like walking out to the post office in my 1 hour a day. I'll get out there. I'll send you a little package. It'll be nice. And then you can help support the podcast by doing that. Hope everyone's doing all right. If you're in Melbourne, we're almost there at the end of this 6 week lockdown period. Hopefully we get to have a bit more time outside. We get to see some more people. That'll be nice. For those in the rest of the country, I'm very much enjoying your posts of being outside. A lot of people say, "Oh, I'm sick of seeing it." I'm actually enjoying it. Keep posting it. Live your life. Be happy. It's going to be good. That's all I need to say. Hey, for everyone who's been saying, "Hey, I'm worried about me. I sound a bit down in the intros." Thank you for reaching out. That is very kind of you. Maybe I'm sounding a bit down in the intros because I'm recording them late at night when my kids are asleep in the next room. So maybe that's what it is. Okay. Lockdown, yes, it's been hard on a lot of people. I'm homeschooling my kids, trying to do work. My wife's working as well. It's not a fun time, but we'll get through it and it'll be fine. So thank you everyone who's been reaching out. That does mean a lot. If I haven't got back to you personally,
one,
two,
because
three,
I'm a terrible person.
Four,
no, I will get back to you. I'll make sure I will.
Six.
Enjoy this
Seven.
Episode. It's so funny.
Eight.
And it's nice to have a new voice in the mix.
Nine.
So enjoy this episode, episode 221. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle, and this week on the internet I discovered that Animal Planet, the series who introduced me to Josh Earle the baboon, they're at it again. They've repackaged him into another series. And this is his TV episode. The episode is called Keet. Now, guess you can join in on this. Have you heard of Keet before? If something's described as Keet?
Never.
It's a TV trope, life. Apparently. Mm-hmm. I've never heard it before either. And this is the description of what Keet is. If a character is described as Keet, it is it most often appears in female-oriented media, best described as the human equivalent of a parakeet. Small, hyperactive and annoying, yet lovable. The Keet fills the role of a little brother to the cast. He's kind, hyper, inquisitive, talkative, and slightly younger than the main characters, though still too old to justify his behaviour.
Sounds wow. annoying.
This baboon just gets me. This is me to a T. I am Keet. I've never
cleans the bottom of your cage, Jill?
Yeah. It'll be a wacky like sitcom hijinks with me and my wife. It'll be a big standoff, yes. Hey, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, what I do, I get four very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. Let's meet them now. Our first guest shares his name with a Melbourne software developer and the founder of Supergrowth, a freeform research platform. Can you please welcome from the podcast, Tofop, Fofop, Willosophy, Two Guys, One Cup. It is Will Anderson. Yay.
Yay. Woo. Finally, I get to be on a podcast. Yeah. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Josh.
Did I get all your podcasts in? I did four. there any others?
Yeah, that's all the current ones at the moment. We do two episodes of Willosophy a week, though. We have 5 days a week. So we have a show that comes out every weekday, like a real imaginary radio station that I can't get imaginary fired from.
Hey, this is the first time you've done the podcast as a studio, even though we're not in a studio, but not a live one.
Yeah, well, that was my rule, Josh, that I would only perform on your podcast in front of a live audience, but then the world took care of that, so I had to change my rule.
Yep. Our next guest shares his name with the head brewer of the Cincinnati Brewing Company. Can you please welcome from the Grub Podcast, it's Greg Larson. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Greg.
Thank you for having me again. Is it a good beer, the Cincinnati Brewing Company?
I don't know. I've never had it, but, you know, that's a good job to be a brewer.
Yeah.
They make a good... a spinster's gusset porter. it's pretty nice.
Oh, good.
Also that joining us delicious. Is a first timer to the podcast. She shares her name with a woman from Gimigiano in southern Italy with very strict Facebook settings. Can you please welcome from the Get Over It podcast, it's Concetta Caristo. Yay.
Hello. Ciao. Good to be here.
Now, do you know about this other Concetta Caristo?
Yeah, she's a little slut, and I'm going to bash her. It's funny, I'm the opposite. I have very loose Facebook settings. I want everyone to know what I'm doing, strangers, stalkers, whatever.
The only thing I could find out about this other Concetta is that she has liked a photographer's page. That's the only thing she's kept public on Facebook.
See, that's what a slut would do. They would like a photographer and love that stuff. That's weird.
And finally is a man who shares his name with a Melbourne environmental control engineer. Can you please welcome from the Bodgy Creek Football Club podcast, it is Damien Callanan. Yeah.
Thank you, Josh. It's actually the Bodgy Creek Community Podcast now. I don't know why I changed the name, really. but I have. That'll be easier for people to find. In fact, Will and I have got a new podcast spurned by that podcast called the Mutton Gully Murders.
It's such a good idea. It's a true crime podcast, but each week it's about a true crime that literally was committed by members of the host of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. They get challenged every week to commit a murder and then they just talk about it.
Because that must be the challenge when doing a murder podcast, going, oh, all the good murders have been talked about. So if you create your own.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then I know, say you record on a Friday, Thursday night you're going, oh, fuck, I haven't done a murder yet. All right. What am I going to do?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you go on holidays, you have to do two or three just to get them in the bank.
Yeah, and you've got to make sure they're not topical. You know, that's the problem with your murders. If you're banking murders, that the situation in the world can really get in the way of your murder.
Absolutely.
All right, our first game tonight is called Social Me Media. Well, I'll read out status updates by the four of you. If you think you know who wrote them, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. So you got to say your names. Mm-hmm. Okay, you get a point if you get it right, a point to the person who actually wrote it if you're incorrect. So you can't buzz in for your own ones. Poker faces on. Here we go. First question is this one. Convenient that the footage starts on Wile E. Coyote, but we don't see what the Roadrunner was doing beforehand. So this violent Antifa Roadrunner could be speeding around, looking for trouble and violence, and the footage starts right when the coyote is defending himself? Yes, Concetta. Will, because he waited
to
the end.
It was me. I went premature. I just got a vibe that it's Greg.
But we're going to go with Will. Is that what you're going to say, Greg? I mean, Will?
Yeah, I was definitely going to say Greg.
Yeah, it was. Now, this, Greg, can I just say?
Yeah.
This has blown. I asked you before this blew up. I'm very impressed with myself. I asked you to be on the podcast, and then you tweeted this out. And
now I'm a Twitter famous. Yeah. So, you're lucky to have me.
It's had 21,000 retweets.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's as if only I could convince my parents that means something.
I mean, I what I love is your business plan to get really famous on Twitter because you have just been blowing up all over Twitter in the last week as Twitter's about to die.
Yeah.
Just as they're literally about to shut it down. Absolutely nail it.
That's exactly my plan.
Yeah. For those who don't know, what you've been doing is what was the original post that you put up?
It was name someone who is what's the word? I've literally lost the word. Someone who is evil.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who is evil there's no controversy surrounding their evilness. You know, I said serial killers, genocidal dictators, and I will defend them and their actions using conservative logic.
Yeah.
And then people just named evil villains throughout history. A lot of people didn't get it, and they kept going, oh, what about Daniel Andrews? I'm like, you don't understand. And a lot of people not really getting, even though I said that I was not myself a conservative defending, say, Adolf Hitler, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of sincere posts of people going, you know, Adolf Hitler actually was pretty bad.
He was, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And I'll say it. I'll say it here on the podcast. I am against everything that Adolf Hitler stood for.
I'm still a fan of his watercolours.
And if there was more people like you, Damien, he probably wouldn't have went into politics. So.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You just need more patrons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Support the arts. That's the real message here. Yeah. Support the arts.
Yeah. Imagine what this pandemic's going to create.
Yeah.
Who out of the comedy community, if you had to speculate on it, is most likely to pivot out of this time from not being able to show into being the next Hitler?
Oh,
that's a good question, and the kind of question you don't want to answer on public record.
Yeah.
Oh, look, probably, I mean, given what we've just been talking about, definitely Arndo.
Yeah, you can see a rage behind his eyes.
Yeah.
You can really see a real
It's the quiet and like, thoughtful questioning.
People kept saying that I prepared some of these paintings before the actual show. I'm so mad.
Question two. To help move the pandemic recovery along in Melbourne, I've graduated myself to stage 10 restrictions. So far, so good. I can only drink sap straight from the trunk of a Japanese maple.
Will.
Yes, Will.
Damien Callan.
That is Damien, yes. A point there for Will. Another point there for Will. Yeah.
Was it the Japanese maple that gave it away? No one uses Japanese maple in comedy anymore.
Well, from what I've learned about Conchetta so far, I didn't think it was going to be a Japanese maple tweet from her somehow.
I actually do a lot of Japanese maple stuff, so really watch what you're saying.
What stage are you up to now on Facebook, Damien?
I'm at 11. Days ago? I'm at 11, yeah. Yeah, I can only drink while being chased by a rodeo clown. Currently.
Question three. I can't stop imagining Grandpa Joe lying in bed, checking Charlie and the others are all asleep, and then slowly massaging the head of his penis with his thumb and forefinger while staring at the other grandparents in the bed, making sure they remain asleep while he finishes up.
Conchetta. I'm going to say Greggy, boy.
You are right, yes, that's great. Mm-hmm.
I've never met the man, and I know him more than my own partner.
Oh, that's good. That tweet. Oh man, my partner, she hated it. She kept saying, "You've got to delete that fucking Grandpa Joe tweet." I remember Becky like sending me a private message, going, "This sucks, man. You've got to get rid of this."
That's like, me to my boyfriend when he tweets things. I'm like, "Don't do it. Stop. Put it away."
And now that you're Twitter famous, Greg, are you worried that this one's going to come back up and? Get your
canceled. I'm gonna pin it.
Yes.
I'm gonna double down on my Grandpa Joe tweet.
Yeah, we were fine with this guy defending Adolf Hitler, but once he came for Grandpa Joe.
But they're definitely Grandpa Joe definitely had a wank at some point in the bed.
Oh,
like, where's he gonna go? Like, he's in the bed. What's he gonna do?
They're polyamorous, Greg. They're fine. They'll be fine with
it.
You can
tell that Grandpa Joe is a horn dog.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Made cake to eat after dinner. Ate cake for dinner.
Damo.
Yes, Damien.
Will.
That is Will. Yes, that is Will Anderson. A point there for Damien, yes.
Yeah, based on a true story. It was a lemon cake, lemon blueberry, like upside down cake. And I just was like, you know what? It's got like lemon and blueberries in it. That's definitely enough for dinner.
Yeah. I can agree with that, man. I got your back on that one.
Plus, you've got so much more room for cake because, like, you haven't already eaten a meal. So, like, you feel like you get extra value.
Another thing you can do, too, is you can actually, like, for the main course, you can actually cut the cake into, like, the shape of a sausage.
Yeah.
And eat that. And then have, like, a cake-shaped slice. Yeah.
I actually served it in a bento box. I cut it into like sushi style, dipped it in some cream wasabi style. It was really delicious, man.
Next question. People think there's no hot chocolate culture, but me and the hundreds of young children who drink them would disagree.
Will.
Yes, Will.
Conchetta.
You are correct. Yes. Yeah. Put there for Will.
How did you know?
Just look like a hot chocolate person.
Thank you. I'll take that as you calling me hot. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the best hot chocolate then? If you're a connoisseur.
Well, the point is that they're bad. That's what I was trying to say. Is that no adult is getting them, so no one's sort of doing quality checks, and it's that it just tastes like hot milk. There's not enough chocolate, and so yeah. I'm
it's
still
literally
on
the
search.
Last thing I drank.
What?
Yeah,
I had one of the stuff. There's a cup, just well, it's out of shot. But
wow.
Yeah.
So it's you, me, and hundreds of young children.
Yeah. But like one of those like 80%, you know, cacao beans. Chat so through a marmoset.
So it's, know, a health kick vibe.
I'll recommend having a packet of marshmallows in your own cupboard, and those giant ones they have for roasting. That's what I recommend, not the tiny ones that you're meant to put in hot chocolates. And you get one of those giant ones and you put it like in the middle of your mug, like affogato style. And then what you do, if you've got like a coffee machine that heats up your milk, is you get that Lindt make a hot chocolate, which is just basically the leftover shavings of chocolate from when they make Lindt, and they've managed to put it in a fancy tin and charge you $25
so
for
much
it.
Money.
So get one of those and then just like heat it up in your sort of cappuccino milk machine if you've got one of those. That's the best hot chocolate you'll have.
Can I tell you, I think the best hot chocolate would be taking that Lindt thing and pouring a bit of milk into that and mixing it, because it's
actually
never enough.
Is,
the ratio is
better.
Off. Yeah. Sorry, Will.
In the
bin.
I used to do that when I was like 17. I like to smoke a little bit of marijuana, and one of our favorite things to do would be just fill up a pretty much like a giant one of those big cups you get from the cinema with Milo all the way to the top, and then you just pour like a splash of already chocolate milk in there.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you get like a Big M or something like that, or a Breaker as we had up in Queensland. And
I once was in the same room as somebody who was trying marijuana. For probably the same medical reasons as you, Greg. And, they got what I believe is medically referred to as the munchies, but all they had was some Milo and some cream, you know, like just ordinary cooking cream. But they worked out if they poured the cooking cream into the Milo, they could like make a paste like... What the sort of thing that you imagine people in Silicon Valley are eating instead of having real meals.
Yeah.
And you would just have this like tub of like... And this person, called it Hilo.
Oh.
I love it. Oh, this has given me good tips this episode.
Next question. It's the little things in a relationship. Like when your partner still grabs your butt, even though they know moments ago you did a paint job in the toilet.
Will.
Yes, Will.
It's not Damien. I'm happy to rule out Damien.
It's not Damien. I'll see myself out.
On the evidence supplied, it is a toss-up between the other two. I'm going to say Conchetta.
God, you are correct, yes.
How relatable is that, boys? Yeah. Pretty relatable.
Sure.
I even made it so it was like, took out all gender from that tweet as well.
I know.
They
shit.
Still got it. Yeah. I do like the phrase painting in the bathroom.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, paint job.
Yeah, Yeah.
Next question. 99.99% of tweets can be summed up with, I didn't read the article, but here's what I think of the headline.
Conchetta.
Yes, Conchetta.
Damien.
No, that was Greg Larson. A point there for Greg. Ooh. Greg's first point.
I'm supposed
to
know
Greg. Quite a good intelligent point that I made there. So.
It was. I didn't answer because I thought it was mine.
Just to help you, Conchetta, I haven't tweeted since 1979.
Yeah.
So, I'm all about the others.
I think your last tweet was, I'm doing Josh's podcast. Hopefully this makes it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Two podcasts ago.
Yeah. Next question. I know they're old, but I have absolutely no military training whatsoever, and I just took out 3 terracotta warriors at the National Gallery without even trying.
Will.
Yes, Will.
Damien.
Yes, that is Damien. Yes, another point there for Will.
Terracotta
yes.
warriors. Yeah. I mean, it's a dead giveaway.
Japanese maple leaves, terracotta warriors.
Japanese wolf, yeah.
They were very impressive, though. I went to the terracotta warriors.
Yeah, before or after my carnage?
Oh, well... I think it was before. They were all standing upright. But I went with my kids, and it was a very stressful moment taking kids to something like that.
Oh, yeah.
They just want to jump at them.
What kind of security was there between you, with them, and Terracotta Carnage?
They were just out there. You just walked through them. There was There's always the people at the National Gallery who are just leaning against the wall and just pounce on you if you touch anything. But yeah, they were pretty relaxed. But
were they real or copies? Were they, you know, when you get dinosaur skeletons and they're actually
plastic
copies?
These were the real ones.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah. It's impressive.
Is it? Brutal. Like,
yeah.
Would you be less impressed if, would you be able to tell a fake version if they'd slipped in one that wasn't a real Terracotta Warrior? Because, Damien came in and, smashed four of them. If they just, paper mache'd up some spare Terracotta Warriors, would you be able to pick which ones weren't real Terracotta Warriors?
Yeah, because those ones were wearing stuff they got from the army disposals.
Right. In camo. The one in camo.
Yeah.
Maybe camo. Not, because then I was thinking if I walked into a garden place, like a Bunnings garden shed, and there was a bunch of these there, would I have gone, oh, these are sick, I'll get these for the garden?
Mm.
Or will I go, oh, no, they're too garish. I don't want them in my garden.
Can I just say, if I think we're talking about what we're talking about, I had one of those in my garden, and growing up as a young girl, I would kiss it on the lips and call it my boyfriend. Like, my mum always reminds me of that. That, you know, maybe I let him finger me, I'm not sure. But we...
Yeah.
was it a Terracotta Warrior or a garden gnome?
I'd like not to answer that question.
Yeah.
Right, next question.
So that's an amazing story, though, because that means if you went and visited that exhibition, it'd be like walking into the bachelor house. Yeah. You'd be look at
I'd
this.
Get very horny, yeah.
It'd be like walking into a police lineup.
Yeah,
that one. No, it was that one. Actually, no, could have been any of them.
And the security guard's still saying, no touching, no touching. Question 9. Why, oh why, does the ABC hate flags?
Damo.
Yes, Damien.
Will.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Damien. Now, do you remember this, Will?
No, don't remember.
All right,
no.
So this is... apparently, you were very drunk in a pool in Hawaii watching Tony Abbott's press conference, and you went on a run about flags. You tweeted about 40 tweets about this press conference and all the flags there.
Okay, I remember now. Okay. I was in Hawaii back in the days when you could travel, and we're at a hotel, and there was these day beds around the pool at the hotel. And I was like, oh, that'd be a great place to read a book or whatever. And I was like, how much does it cost to hire one of those day beds? And they said, it's $200 or whatever, 4 hours. Or if you drink $200 worth of alcohol, it's free. And I was just like, so they'll just bring me alcohol to the day bed. And as long as I just drink more than I would have paid, this is so I made a profit. I took money from them this day by a fair way. And I finished my book because I was having such a good time. And then Tony Abbott did that famous press conference where he stood in front of 8 flags or something. And I just decided to, it was like I was at the Logies, Josh. It was the good old days. Sometimes when I start to tweet, I can't stop.
Because, this made a BuzzFeed list, this one. This is where I got this one from.
Whoa.
Okay.
But
I did not know that.
But is this how you spend your holidays? Just still watching press conferences in Hawaii and going, never stop.
I mean... I guess, when you put it like that, it does seem sad in retrospect, but...
But you added all the alcohol, so it's fine.
Yeah, it was fine, man. You know what? There's only so much you can do, in Hawaii. We'd been parasailing and we'd swum in the ocean, you know? Amy was getting a beauty thing. She went to get, a massage and a facial and stuff, and I got drunk and live-tweeted a Tony Abbott press conference. We both have different interests.
But I just want to know, what is a $200 day bed... look like? What is it? Just a chair?
It's draped in flags.
it's bigger than your actual bed. It would be at least a king size bed, and it's around this beautiful swimming pool with this cool bar and food and drinks and I don't know. That is a holiday.
Yeah.
Reading my book and laying down and getting people to bring me food and drinks is all I really need from the world.
Yeah,
I read
cool.
it.
Our last question for the first round. Politics is just show business for ugly people.
Greg.
Yes, Greg.
Conchetta.
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Greg. Yes.
Yeah.
I guess you can tell. You can tell all the girl tweets. You guys can just sniff it on me. I'm a girl. She would tweet that.
At the end of the first round, the points are Conchetta on 1 point, Damien on 2 points, Greg, you're on 2 points, but in the lead on 5 points is Will Anderson.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
How am I on 2 points?
Because someone got yours wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
There you go. All right. This round is called Yeah Book. Now, this round, we go back to our school days and talk about a time that has stayed with us. And today we're talking about a young Greg Larson. Now, Greg, you used to take the bus to high school, but what happened on the bus one day that was not ideal for young Greg Larson? Was it A, in a thermos, Greg had 2 hot dogs that he was going to have for his lunch. He was hungry, though.
It's A.
And wanted he was hungry and wanted to eat one now. But when he went to grab it, he burned his hand and the hot dog slipped down the bus. School kids all panicked and Greg was called hot dog for a lot of his school years. That's A. Was it B, an older boy took Greg's hat off and frisbeed it down the bus? It hit the driver and the driver stopped and started screaming, "Whose hat is this?" Greg didn't want to say anything, but the boy who threw it said it should say on the tag. The bus driver read it and everyone looked at Greg. Greg tried to argue that he didn't throw it, but the driver was going ballistic and banned Greg from the bus. The next day, Greg's dad dropped him off in his cop uniform and the driver let him on without saying a word. So that's B. Or C, Greg was running late one morning, so his mum said he would drop him off at the stop. When they got there, the bus was already there, so Greg got out and ran, but he missed it. So his mum said, "I'll drive you to the next stop." She did the same thing and the same thing happened. Greg got out of the car, ran for the bus, but it took off again. The same thing happened a third time, and on the fourth attempt, he caught the bus. And when he got on, everyone laughed because they'd watched him do this 4 times in a row. Now, one of these is right. You can ask him as many questions as you want to try and get the truth from him. Bear in mind, he wants to get it wrong, so he gets the point. The floor is open for questions.
Greg.
Ask away.
Can I ask a question? Yes. Yes. So is your dad actually a cop?
Yes, retired now, but yes.
Okay, because there was a part of me that just thought he might have had a cop uniform.
His dad just dropped him off in a sexy cop uniform.
Yeah.
Okay, what happened when the cop brought you onto the bus? No one said, Yeah. Your dad, the cop.
I called him the cop.
And I'll be referring to him as the cop.
Yeah.
Brought you onto the bus. And then what happened? Tell me, walk me through what happens next. The feelings and...
It was literally just, I get onto the bus and he sort of... I didn't really like stand next to him. Like he just sort of went, like, "Get on the bus and I'll talk to the bus driver," kind of thing. And I walked out and basically he said, you know, "My son's hat got stolen. Someone threw it. It was all a big misunderstanding. He's got to catch the bus. Like, can we just get past this?" You know, and the bus driver said, "Yeah, it's fine." Like the bus driver, by the next day, he already didn't care. Mm. And yeah, it was pretty much all sorted.
Was the name on the hat hot dog?
No, it was not hot dog. It was Greg.
Oh. So it means your nickname's your name's not hot dog. So it can't be A.
Yeah, 2 didn't seem like enough hot dogs to me anyway. Yeah. But his mum knows that he's going to eat a hot dog on the way to school. You can't just leave one more hot dog for the rest of the day. I want to know about C. Mm. Now, so is there any chance that your mum was enjoying seeing you miss the bus each time and was driving at a rate that meant that you were going to not make it each time?
I don't think my mum would be that cruel. I hope that I'm not finding that out now. Thinking back, wait a minute. No, she was just trying to help me get the bus. She wasn't trying to make me miss it or anything like that. It was just a sorry chain of events.
Wouldn't she just like drive you to school in the end? Like, wouldn't you just do the whole way instead of just trying to go to the bus?
You would definitely think so.
Yeah. By the
she didn't.
By the time you got on the bus, how many stops were left?
Oh, I can't remember. Probably another 5, another 4, if that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a normal, how often did you get hot dogs in a thermos Was that like a treat or?
No, it was sort of a treat, but there were different meals that I would get all the time.
Oh my God.
And we would get stupid meals. So like one day it would be chicken and lettuce and mayo sandwiches, and
also served in a thermos.
No, they weren't in a thermos. But the hot dogs, Mum would put them in a thermos, and I hated it because she put them in a thermos with boiling water to keep the hot dogs hot.
Absolutely, I'm familiar with the practice. Yeah,
I was gonna
so
ask
you need
about
tongs.
Mm.
You need tongs to get those.
Yeah, out. Well, I didn't have any tongs or anything, but it was like by the time you get to lunchtime, the water wouldn't be boiling. Like you'd still just get your fingers in.
Dare I say it?
And I'd take a bun.
If you had have had tongs and got them out on the bus, I think you would have been called tongs for the rest of your school day.
Yeah, tongy.
Would you take bread to school also?
I'd still have my lunchbox, and then I'd have the thermos with the hot dogs in it, and I'd have a lunchbox with two bread rolls. The thermos was not uncommon. Like I'd have the thermos for like sometimes there'd be pea and ham soup in the thermos if it was a wintertime
treat. With a hint of hot dog.
Question, are you scarred by this story? Do you still eat hot dogs?
Yeah.
I still eat hot dogs. I'm not scarred by it. I'm proud of who I am. I'm a man who loves hot dogs.
You're stronger for it.
Both the hot dogs and the Big Brother personality. All hot dogs.
Simon Deering.
I'm
big,
down
big
with.
Fan.
Yeah.
He was the first person I ever saw shave his knuckles. I didn't know men would shave their knuckles.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs, yeah.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs from on Big Brother.
Talking about hot dogs.
Hot dogs on Big Brother. There was a.
How do you know he shaved his knuckles? Where were you when?
He did it on the show. They showed it on the show. Him shaving his knuckles. And I'm like, that's a real way to kind of stitch someone up on that show. Mm. Like that's kind of more embarrassing than when they would just show people picking their nose in bed. Like that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's messed up.
That's a personal thing.
He did grow up in a thermos. So.
There's a nightclub in North Queensland. I think it's in Cairns, but it's definitely in North Queensland. That like the big famous story that everybody ever tells you when you go to this nightclub is the legendary night where Hot Dogs, at the height of his Big Brother fame, got not one but two blowjobs in the alleyway outside the nightclub, like with two different people, and it was all caught on the CCTV footage from the nightclub, and you cannot go to that nightclub without somebody just coming up to you and unprovoked telling you that story.
Oh my God. Oh.
So just like Greg, two hot dogs. Great.
Yeah. Two hot jobs.
Yeah. What are people thinking they're going to lock in? Damien, A, B or C?
I just really want it to be A. I just think it's a delightful story. Not the fact that he got burnt, but just the idea of dear Greg Larson turning up to school with a thermos of hot dogs.
Being on a school bus with a rogue hot dog flapping around the floor would be
flapping around.
It'd be a great sight.
Rolling around. Yeah.
Conchetta, what do you think?
A.
A absolutely. As well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Will Anderson?
I'm going to go with B.
Going to go with B. Which was the hat story. Throwing. The correct answer was C.
No!
His mum kept on dropping him off and him running and then...
No!
Yes. I purposely, using my good acting skills, made it seem like I was trying to remember the details.
Yeah.
She did. And I was so pissed off. And yeah, you're right. Why didn't she drive me to school?
I don't
understand. I was saying that to Mum. I kept going, Mum, please just drive me. Like, the bus was going in the opposite direction to school. It was going a roundabout route, like zigzagging all around the neighbourhood.
Yeah.
It would have been quicker to go to school.
I reckon
and
she just read up about the fartlek training method and she was giving you the new short, sharp bursts of speed and then rest periods in between.
I literally didn't want it to be C because I was thinking the whole time, like, Greg is a bad mum. Like, that just sounds like...
Yeah.
That is
awful.
Jeez Louise.
She's the worst.
And she wasn't in a hurry. She had nowhere to be. Like,
she's playing mind games.
I was so mad. And the kids all just like, I literally walked onto the bus with an eruption of laughter and round of applause.
Greg,
like everyone clapping sarcastically.
How old were you here? Was this goth Greg?
No, this was pre-Goth Greg. Okay. This was and actually I had to leave that school because I got bullied real bad. I don't know if it was because of the the bus incident
set
it off.
But I think it was.
It was my first high school. I was only in high school for like a few months when this happened.
Oh.
And it was not a nice school. It was a pretty rough school as well.
Can I ask a question? Because like obviously the other two weren't real, but I want to know if there was any truth in them. Did you ever go to school with hot dogs in a thermos?
Absolutely not.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
No way.
I'm devastated to find that out.
Absolutely not.
We all wanted a different version of you.
At the end of that round, the scores are Conchetta still on 1 point. Damien's on 2 points. Will's still on 5 points, but now also on 5 points is Greg Larson.
Woo.
Well done. Well done on your impoverished childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I'm losing this blows. Come on.
It's all right. There's still time. This round is called Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. Everything is true, you'll say yeah. If things are a lie, you'll say nah. You can ask them as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong so they get your point. So the first one is to Greg. One night, Conchetta had an Uber stop on the side of the road so she could be sick. Vomit, that is. The driver just took off and left her there, so Conchetta called her mum to come and get her. But as her mum came to pick her up, Conchetta had to go to the toilet, so ended up just taking a dump in the gutter in front of her mum. Yeah or nah?
How long ago was this?
This was like 2016, I think.
So 4 years ago. An Olympics ago.
An Olympics ago. 2016. I'm trying to think when Uber, how long we've had Uber. It feels like it's sometimes still feels like it's a new thing, but it's not. 4 years ago, we still had Ubers.
Yeah.
Did the driver say anything? Did the driver just take off without you knowing?
He ran. He came out because he was waiting for a while, and then came out, looked at me, said something, but I was so like fucked that then he, I think I was like go. So he was like, okay, threw my bag at me, got in, left.
Okay.
Can I just clarify, do I want him to get this right or not?
No, it's you just answer it how you want to answer
right.
No, you don't want him to get it right, but yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Okay.
Because he'll get your point.
Damn it.
Look, I'm going to say yeah because, and I want to justify why I'm saying it because first, not necessarily because I think it's definitely true, but because I think that would be real horrible for Josh to make up as a story. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think it's true.
Greg,
we've all had a rough night. We've all puked in a cab. I think, yes.
I'm glad you know me because that is a true story. I would not make that up for someone on their first time on the podcast.
And you can see that in
you're a coward.
Special Uber, Spuber and Poober. Yeah.
But you said this happened on a very significant street as well.
Yeah. Boys, if you don't know, I'm of Italian background. And this happened on a sacred street in Sydney called Norton Street, sort of an important hub for Italians, in front of a beautiful Italian restaurant that I had been with my family many a time.
Have you been back to that restaurant?
Absolutely, I have. Walked in there, head held high. They have no idea that I've desecrated their beautiful establishment.
So I mean, I hope they do have no idea, but I actually like to entertain the world that they absolutely 100% know and they light up every time you come in. Yeah. Much like hot dogs
star
with that
is
nightclub
born.
In
here
Cairns.
She comes.
Yeah. They're like, that's the girl. She's in. It's her. What's she
give
eating?
Give her extra bread. Go give her something.
And on the map of the tables in the kitchen, it's just got the shit table.
No, I think it would be cool. You know how people worry like their nudes will leak? I'm not worried. I'm excited. If the CCTV footage of that gets leaked, that would be great for the show, the one woman show.
And what a leak. Okay, to Conchetta. So Will has recently moved house and found out that the removalists who moved his stuff went through his boxes. He found this out because they took photos of themselves holding his AFI award and posted it to Instagram. And someone else tagged Will in the photo. Yeah or nah?
Oh, here we go. Okay. What is your AFI award for?
You probably don't even know what an AFI award is. You're too young. So the actors, the actor awards, which are kind of like the credible version of the Logies, they used to be called the AFI, Australian Film Industry Awards.
Yeah.
And I had this old show called The Glass House, and we won an AFI award. Russell Crowe was hosting. I remember that. I made a joke. It was just after he'd thrown that phone, and I made a joke about that in front of him. And Corinne Grant tried to grab the AFI trophy and like make a joke about that. And he said, oh, I do the funny stuff up here.
Wow. He crushed it.
Wow.
Okay.
Something's
okay.
happened with Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe is in a bit of a renaissance.
Oh, like, he's back. Yeah. No doubt.
But he's awesome. He's really funny as well.
Like, he does this thing anymore. On Twitter when somebody compliments like one of his projects that isn't one of his big projects. And he'll just retweet it every time with one heart at a time.
Wait, Will, so who tagged you? Who is that relationship? Like, what's the relationship of that person to you? Like,
absolutely
a fan or
complete
a friend?
And utter random. Yep. So,
my God.
So basically, I don't keep any trophies, like in awards and stuff. They're not really, but this one I loved for one real reason is that there was this Australian actor called Bill Hunter who I absolutely loved. And I was at the after party and he came up to me and he said, I watch you every week, cunt. And to this, like, it's the first time I'd ever met him. And it was like the Aussiest moment ever. So I've kept this one trophy just to remind me of that moment more than anything else. And anyway, we were moving house and we left, to the movers' credit, it wasn't like they were really going through my stuff. We left just like some random shit for them to box up. So it was just all stuff that had been stored away. And that was one of the things. And so they took photos, not just with the award, but with a whole bunch of other stuff. And they just posted it on their own private Instagram. And to be honest, none of it was really private stuff. It was funny. I didn't like, you know, a guy pretending he'd won the award, whatever, who cares? Like,
yeah, just holding Will Anderson's thermos.
Okay, well then, yeah. I'd like to lock in yeah, please.
You think this is yeah? Contender, yeah, is a nah. This is not a true story.
Oh my God, you dog. I want to stab you with your AFI award. How dare you?
AFI for best acting in a podcast goes to.
Thank you.
Oh, brother.
Are they sharp enough for a stabbing? That particular model, they were pretty sharp.
That's
Arias.
Yeah. Wait, yeah, so that's completely fabricated.
I did win an AFI and that story about Bill Hunter is true. But yeah, no, I don't have the trophy and yes, so no.
Having fun, Conchetta?
I'm going to be grumpy the rest of this podcast.
Please don't. All right, now to Will. As a child, Damien found an injured baby bird in his backyard. Damien and his brother picked it up and put it in a shoebox and they were going to nurse it back to health. But they forgot about it. It wasn't until a couple of weeks later that the shoebox was found by Damien's mum, who was worried that her boys were into tormenting animals. The boys had to assure her that they just forgot about the bird. Yeah or nah?
How old were you, Damo?
I was about 9 because I just started playing footy. Yeah.
What sort of bird was it?
It was an Indian miner. You know, they're just those, particularly in Melbourne, just the common domestic bird, and you'd always see dead and dying ones. I think because there's so many of them, their parents used to just go, "No, that one's a bit shit," and kick it out of the tree, and they'd just be like lying on the ground. But my brother and I were playing footy in the back, just kicking the footy around the backyard, and I found it, and he wanted to abandon it, and I said, "No, we should." He's heaps older than me, like 9 years older than me, so he should have been, he should have cared more. So, yeah, I found a shoebox and put it in. And we got some of Mum's, you know, fabric swatches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like little samples. And found kind of like the most woolen version of those. And I lined the box with that. And I looked after it heaps, like, for the first day. And then both Chris and I were playing footy on the Sunday. And we just kind of forgot about it. And I remember going out, like, on the Sunday night and seeing it was dead. I didn't chuck it out. I just left it in the box in the garage. And, yeah.
So I look, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say nah, because I just can't imagine Damien being the sort of guy who would forget about a helpless weak bird. unless this is the inciting incident Batman style that has turned you into the person you are today. And you've dedicated the rest of your life to becoming a good person to make up for the fact that you overlooked this bird. No.
Will, you are correct that it was not a true story. Point there for Will.
Thank God.
Yeah. But weirdly, when Josh sent me the story, it's remarkably similar to an actual childhood story where I went to the Victoria Market on a year 7 excursion and someone went and bought a chick, like a chicken chick, and everyone went, oh, that's a cool idea. And nearly the entire form went and bought a chick. And I took it home and I looked after it in a shoebox. In fact, I named it Grosby because it was a Grosby shoebox. But it was the middle of winter and it just slowly died. I looked after it. I didn't abandon it, but it just slowly died.
That is insane that they would just sell chicks to school kids.
No.
Like,
the only one that survived was one of my closest friends, who's still one of my closest friends, Pete Gleason. He half and half lived on a farm, his grandfather's farm, so he was a bit more worldly. Anyway, he and his mum just put it in the oven for the weekend. Low, just to keep it warm enough.
Oh, my God.
And it survived, and then they fucking ate it.
So they put it in the oven a second time?
Yeah. See, my brother once at the Bernie show used to go for 3 days. On the first day, they saw that they were selling ostriches. You could buy an ostrich for $200. And so they went home. This is when my brother's like 18, 19. So they all drove. A mate of his had a ute. So the next day they went back and bought an ostrich to put in a friend of theirs' backyard. That would be the big joke.
Oh, whoa.
So they got the ostrich and put it in the backyard. The guy came home. It was the joke. And then they took it back on the third day of the show. Say, oh, no, we don't have the space for it. Can we get our money back? And I don't think they got their money back, but they got the joke. It's a $200 prank. But
jeez,
amazing that they'll just sell an ostrich to some 19-year-old guys in Burnie.
Well, a lot of people don't know, but that's how Hey Hey It's Saturday started.
All right, and our final question for this round to Damien. Now, Greg, as a kid, went on the game show My Generation, a quiz show where a parent and a child would battle against other families. Greg was desperate to win the major prize of a Super Nintendo. Greg and his dad blitzed the game, scoring a record-winning margin, with Greg only getting one question wrong. But even with all of this, Greg did not win a Nintendo and instead won a Rip Curl prize pack. Yeah or nah?
So, Greg, was it your own delusion that you thought you were going to win a Nintendo?
No, it was like on all the kids' game shows in the late 90s, they'd usually cycle major prizes.
Right.
So it would be this week the prize is this and this week. And often the prize was a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
So it was like this, like that was the most reoccurring prize. And but you don't know on any given episode if you're definitely up for that prize or it's some other prize.
So what was in the Rip Curl pack?
Just heaps of Rip Curl.
Really?
Are we saying
be specific.
Wallet, like jacket.
No, yeah, like a wallet, a key ring, a hat, a Rip Curl watch, like a little wristwatch kind of deal. Rip Curl shirt, Rip Curl shorts, Rip Curl beach towel.
Rip Curl dinner suit.
All the Rip Curl stuff.
Yeah. What was the question you got wrong?
The question I got wrong was
that would stick. That would stick, for sure.
Yep.
If I had got this right, I would have got a Nintendo instead of ending up with, like, wearing a three-piece Rip Curl suit.
Well, the question I got wrong was they said... Well, the question was, where would you traditionally wear an Akubra? And I said, in the bush, and the answer was on your hat, on your head.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I can understand your confusion, though.
Yeah.
Because it's not a very well-worded question. Like, it doesn't sound like a question that would be at a quiz show.
Well, it was.
This is like, honestly, like two brilliant minds going together. This is like a new series of True Detective.
Yeah.
I don't know who's telling the truth and who's fucking lying. I thought that question, the question about the question, was such a good question. I was like, oh, fuck, that's a great one. Like, there's no way Greg will be able to. And then he, like, the question is either the real question or he made up a really good question on the spot. I'm like, these guys are both geniuses.
Wow. The only thing can fix it, top it now, is that Greg just reached out of frame and pulled a Rip Curl brand of Cobra and put I'm going to say this is true.
Damien, you are correct. This is a true story. Yes.
It was, yeah. So it was the show was called My Generation. It was, I did win the Rip Curl prize pack. And the question, yeah, all that is true. I remember being really disillusioned with it because there was one section of the show where you had to watch two clips and they were slightly different. You had to spot the difference. And on the show, it makes it look like you're typing on keyboards, but they actually make you write down the answers before that and you got these keyboards connected to nothing.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh my God, this isn't, it's not live. It's not real.
Magic of television just broken for you.
Yeah. And then I went, and this was right before I started high school. And so I rocked up to high school, that same high school I was talking about before, decked out in all my Rip Curl gear. Like, I had my Rip Curl hat and the Rip Curl wallet. And yeah, and they, oh man, brutal. They were making fun of me. They stole all the Rip Curl stuff.
Yeah, because Rip Curl's, that was a cool brand back then.
Yeah, yeah. But everyone was like, oh, it's Mr. Rip Curl. Oh, hey, man. Give us your hat. Let's have a look.
Rip Curl.
So you don't have any of that merch today, do you?
I don't have any of the Rip Curl merch. I do have, and what's annoying is I do have a Rip Curl towel that I got recently because I was at a beach.
Exciting.
Not that recently, pre-pandemic. But anyway, yeah, so that's the story of me being on this game show.
Excellent.
Congrats.
Congratulations on your victory.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Speaking of points and victories, at the end of that round, the scores are Conchetta, 1 point. Damien, 3 points. Greg on 6 points, but in the lead now on 7 points is Will Anderson. Yeah. All right, this is our final round.
I hope there's an award that Will wins that he can discard.
Yeah. I'll get.
Have I ever won this show, Josh?
I'm not sure you have, Greg.
I never have either. This might be the battle of the losers, is it?
It's not about that, though.
Can chat up, but.
It's not about winning this game. It's just about having fun, having a laugh.
Yep. No one's having fun. Guys. We're all sucking ass at this game, and it's your fault, Josh. Put this in the bin.
All right, this round is called Who, 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 Who. This is our final round. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions all about you four. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your name's your buzzer. You get a point if you get it right. You get a point if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points. Don't let that stop you. Okay. Question one. Who here once DJed a wedding where they started their set with U2's Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For?
Conchetta.
Yes, Conchetta.
Damien?
No, that was Will Anderson, a point off Conchetta there. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. It was actually their bridal waltz.
Did they ask you to do that?
Bridal dance to U2's I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. True story.
That's very funny.
And were they in on the joke? It was like, yeah, this would be funny?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't ask. Like, they just tell you what song to play and you're like, well, I guess it's a joke, but no one ever really like talked about it being a joke. They were the best days that I've ever had in my life DJing weddings. Like, because you would get there early in the day and it's just like down. It was essentially like binging a whole season of something. You just binge a whole season of this family and their relationships and you'd see it all because you were there at the start and you were there right until the end. And you're just kind of, you become part of the furniture. So just people have fights and arguments and like you just see shit go wrong all the time. It was honestly the best job.
Wow. Next question. Who here never had a pet growing up because their father didn't like animals?
Will.
Yes, Will.
Greg.
No, that was Damien Carnan. Mm. Would you believe?
That's why I was no good with the bird.
Next question. Who once got into an argument with a bunch of neo-Nazis in a chat room while they were pretending to be a sexy cam girl?
Conchetta!
I heard Damo first.
It has to be Greg.
Yeah, there's never been a more Greg
me. Wrong. It Greg was me, story. Actually.
I had a brief job, and this was one of the best jobs I ever had, where I had to pretend to be a cam girl in chat rooms, in Yahoo chat rooms. This is around 2003, in order to get people to sign up to this website. And you would literally just go into an office. And I answered the job ad because it literally just said, someone needs to know about Yahoo chat rooms and can type, you know, I can't remember, like 60 words per minute or something. That was literally the whole job ad. And I went in there and they just straight away said, you can have the job, but it's commission only. You only get paid for how many people sign up to the website. And it was, yeah, it was like a porn company. And like, I remember like you'd go into chat rooms and say, oh, hey guys, who wants to sign up to this thing? And then a guy was showing me wanted to show me his webcam. He was like, oh, do you want to have a look at my webcam? And I just rejected it. And my boss, she went over my shoulder and goes, no, always accept the webcam because you want to see if they're getting their credit card out and stuff like that. And then so I said, accept. And then the guy was like coming on the webcam. And then she just goes, oh, see, he's already come, move on. He's not a sale. Like you won't sign him up.
Wow, dream job.
Yeah, and it was like pretty good. Like you just go in there, we'd drink goon all day. Like we'd just like it was open 24 hours, we'd drink goon, play video games, sign people up to porn. And just hang out, and it was fun.
Do you think that
also,
job still exists?
Also, I love when your boss said to you, you've got to turn on the webcam so you can see if they're getting their credit card out. If she didn't know exactly what was going to happen when you turned on the webcam.
Yeah.
I pick Will's job.
Yeah. All right, next question. Who once pretended to be an Irish tourist to make their partner laugh, asked another person for directions, and this person just happened to be Irish?
Will.
Yes, Will.
Damo.
Yes, you are correct. That is Damien. Yeah.
It was an Olympic. I degree of difficulty, though, it was at the Sydney Olympics, and she was an Olympic guide. So she was an Irish person who lived in Australia. So I just assumed that all be Australian. It got down. Just, as soon as I started talking, she said, oh, Michelle, where are you from now? And I just had to kind of like, hey, all right, Dublin-ish, sort of, around the south a bit, Wicklow, sort of. Hi, see you later. I think I know where the hockey centre is now. I'll be right by. See you later.
Next question. Who here hates going to the hairdressers because they believe they never listen to them?
Will.
Greg. Yes, Greg.
Concerto.
Yes, you are correct, yes. True story. Happened only yesterday to you, Concerto.
Yes, I'm now blonde, and it is not what I thought was going to happen, and I had a tiny cry after leaving the place.
How does it occur that you don't want to be blonde, but that happens?
I think fate is probably a big reason. I don't know.
That must be the worst hairdresser.
No,
to bleach your hair.
No, it's sort of, I cried because it was like sort of confirmed something to me that I suspected, where it's like I went to specifically to a different place, to a new place, having high hopes. And the
color,
and the
color
same
line cuts.
And it was just showing that it's like, no, I'm the problem, that I'm too shy and like scared and like don't make any sense when I'm talking about what I need. It's not the specific hairdresser. So there's a lot of trauma there, guys, if we could just sort of let up with the jokes.
Oh, it looks great.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, more
and,
of that.
Also, do you have any footage of the crying? Because like my favorite episodes of Australia's Next Top Model was always the episode where they take them to get their makeover and some girl would get really upset that they cut her hair. Like it was the best.
So true. Yeah, I'll find that for you.
Next question. Who found someone stealing wood from their house the other day?
Am I?
Greg.
Yes, Damien.
Will.
Yes, you are correct. Another point there for Damien. Yes.
It's true. It was honestly one of the best things I've ever, like, firstly, the fact that, like, his excuse was, he said, I thought someone had thrown this out. Like, it was a pile of wood. Like, it was like, for hard rubbish, someone had thrown out a tree. It's like an IKEA tree. You just have to assemble it yourself, mate, but it's all there. And then we had this, like, conversation for about 5 minutes when he, like, had clearly been caught like just stealing my stuff, and it was honestly the most fun I'd had in a long time. Yeah. It's nice to have an audience.
Yeah. Where was it? Like on the nature strip or in your house, in your property?
Well, so it's on the property because I live on like a farm, and so like there's a old wood stove and there's a proper wood pile, and it's like it looks like a wood pile. It's covered in a tarp. It's clearly like a wood pile. It's not something that's been thrown out in any sort of scenario.
Great.
And so this dude is like, you know, clearly just coming into my house and stealing from the wood pile, but that it was invigorating, like to bust someone in the middle of a crime where like the only thing they could do was make small chat with you to get out of it. And but this is how bad I am at life. When I first saw somebody taking wood out of my woodpile, my immediate assumption was I was the one who'd been getting it wrong. I thought I'd been taking wood from someone else's woodpile. I was like, I thought that was my woodpile, but maybe it's like the neighbor's woodpile and I've been walking past my very obvious woodpile to get to this other woodpile.
That's great. And did the guy recognize you?
Like, yes.
Was he a fan?
Well,
he was.
I mean,
a fan of your wood, actually.
And of other people's wood, yeah.
Yeah, he did know who I was, so that added to the joy of the conversation.
That's so good.
You know, one of those things where you're just like, I'm really only keeping this conversation going because I know that I want to talk about this later.
Yeah.
A bunch of other places, so I might as get as many details, suck in what he was wearing, what the expression on his face was.
Turned a 5-minute bit into a 15-minute bit.
Yeah. Well, you know what I found out? He's a carpenter, which I thought was ironic. Oh, great. Can't even source his own wood.
All right, next question.
He was going to burn it. He was going to go home and turn it into a coffee table.
Who here had a weird encounter with an ex-prime minister?
Conchetta.
Yes, Conchetta.
Greg.
No, it wasn't. It was Will Anderson, a point off Conchetta there.
I did too, so I thought it was me. That's why I didn't answer. So
what was your weird encounter then? We'll get to Wheels in a minute. What was yours?
Mine was Kevin Rudd at an open mic gig in Brisbane. Between, like, after he was ousted by, like, this was when Julie Gillard was in and he was out. And then he.
Did he go to the sit down comedy club?
No, it was literally at just an open mic gig, the Boundary Hotel, and it was outside the Boundary. And he was just walking around. Whoa. He was literally just walking around with his mate. And then someone goes, "Oh, it's Kevin Rudd." And then everyone started running out and talking to him. And then this one open mic comedian who I won't say his name, but he came. Like, someone who is, like, very political and also a conspiracy theorist and all this kind of stuff, he came out and, like, started talking to him going, hey, I actually want to ask you about, okay, so nuclear war is obviously imminent, right? And then I couldn't deal with the cringe and I ran away. Like, I just had to run back inside because I couldn't deal with it. But, yeah, and it was a funny time.
So I should get a point for that, I'd like to say.
No point. Will, so what yours was with Julia Gillard?
Oh, okay, good, because I've had two, so I was glad that you've identified which one it was, because I did have one.
Conchetta was right, and she should get the point.
So. Thank you.
Yeah, technically, that is all right. Actually true.
Okay, you
I
get
suppose.
A point.
Yeah.
You get a point, Conchetta.
So I had one with John Howard where, like, I'd been in Darwin and I'd been doing a show in Darwin and I think somebody had given me drugs. And when I say I think, I know, because the person had said, "Would you like some drugs?" And I said yes. And then I've been out all night. I've been at Darwin's only nightclub that's open after midnight, a place called Throb, which is Darwin's, like, gay club.
Yep.
And so I've had this, like, incredibly big night. I'm at the Darwin airport the next day and I am vomiting like Conchetta on a night out. It's like terrible. And then suddenly they load me onto a plane and I'm sitting next to John Howard for the entire flight back from Darwin to Sydney, and I vomited the entire way back on the plane. I would just have to keep going into the bathroom, and then they gave me that thing to rehydrate you, but then I just turned into an old-fashioned, like, seltzer sketch from, like, vaudeville, where just like, bah, like it was. Anyway, he was incredibly dignified. Terrible person, did horrible things to the country, but was very nice on the flight. So,
oh, wow.
On my philosophy podcast, so my friend Charlie and I do this podcast called Tofop. And when we're trying to arrange the times to do it on WhatsApp, I would always send the emoji, the cool emoji, you know, the guy with the sunglasses. And Charlie one day just asked out of the blue, he was like, what does that mean? You've always sent it, but I don't really know what it means when you send it. And I said, it's cool. And then we discovered this photo of Tony Abbott wearing Speed Dealer sunglasses that we replaced, and I wrote the word cool on his head. And so we started sending that instead. And then the joke kind of just, one of those dumb in jokes. So then we were doing the podcast, I would put it as my Skype background. You know, you can change the background. So it would be Tony Abbott in these Speed Dealer sunglasses with cool written on it. And so I'm interviewing Julia Gillard for my philosophy podcast. And I got on early to make sure that I'd taken down the background from, like, the last podcast. And I reset the background. And then suddenly when I went to ring her, for some reason, Skype just reverted to that being my background. So I am now literally, as Julia Gillard's about to come up on the screen, just like somebody who's been busted watching porn, I am just like running for the computer, trying to shut it down, throw it out the fucking window.
Great. Okay, so you get a point there, Conchetta. There you go.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Because your first time. Although I think I did say recently had a weird encounter, and Greg's happened years ago, but that's fine. We'll give you a point. Okay, next question. Who was followed into a bathroom at a hotel by management convinced they were doing drugs in the bathroom?
Will.
Yes, Will.
Greg.
No, that was Conchetta. Point
Boom!
Off Will. Yeah.
And no, I was doing a big fat dump, as is tradition.
You're about to paint the walls.
That's it.
I mean, it gives a whole new meaning to that Robert De Niro film where he paints houses.
Yeah.
Like, it's just some guy who would go to, like, display homes and take a shit. That's what I did.
Next question. Who here did one shift at Subway, didn't turn up for their second shift, and never got paid?
Conchetta.
Yes, Conchetta.
Greg.
You are correct, yes. That was the point there. Yeah.
Bring it home.
That was me. It was one single shift. It was when I was 22. I felt like I was like on the cusp of too old to be working at Subway. I needed a job. I got a job at Subway, and I was I got there, and the uniform was way too small that they gave me, and so like my gut was sort of hanging out below the shirt. And then a friend of mine came in and he ordered a sub but didn't talk to me and like sat there and stared at me and ate his sub slowly while I was trained by like this guy who was like 15. And then I was just too, I just hated it. And then I left and I never went back and I didn't even chase up getting paid. But I kept the hat, so, and now I lost the hat.
How long was the shift? Was it what, 3 hours?
It's like 3 hours, yeah, like a training shift.
All right, so what, they probably owe you what, 30, 35 bucks?
Yeah, something like that. It was real low pay too. Yeah, it was like $10 an hour, I think.
We pass that around.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For listeners, let's hit up Subway or we can just raise it ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stolen wages.
Yeah. We'll start another, a Kickstarter.
Yeah. Yet another artist who's been cheated out of their rightful money.
We'll kickstart and get your Subway pay, all your Rip Curl gear, and maybe an unlimited bus ticket.
And a thermos full of hot dogs.
A thermos, and also a sub too, because they made me make a training sub. Like, they made me put together a sub, and then they're like, all right, now throw it out. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'll
eat
this.
That's crazy.
And they're like, no, you can't eat it. You can't, like, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to just make a sub and then eat it. And I was like, but you made me make a sub, and then we threw it out. It was crazy.
Insane. And our final question for the game. Who had an enemy of theirs in primary school try to catfish this person by pretending to be their uni friend? So many years later, pretended, try to get revenge.
Am I?
Yes, Damo.
Conchetta.
You are correct, yes. Point there for Damien, yes.
So everyone knows me except myself. Great. Everyone knows everything that's happened to me. Good job.
So how did this happen? Let's go
through
the story.
Oh my God, guys, this is truly psycho. So I was just like, you know, swiping on Tinder and I saw the photo of my friend who I had been to uni with like a few years ago. And I was like, oh, but his name was different. So I don't know if I can legally send it. Can we? You can send it. Like first name. Isn't that fine?
Say his first name.
Okay. Yeah. So my friend is Justin, but his name on Tinder was Rob. And so I was like, hey, man. But like I've had a name change before. So I just sort of tried to be understanding of being like, oh, do you go by Rob now? And he was just like, this person was being really sus. And he was like, I actually went to primary school with you. And his bio said that he was Italian and all this like weird stuff when I know my friend was not Italian. So then as it went on, he got creepier and creepier. And he was like, yeah, I remember who we went to school with. And I was like, but that's not you. That's not you in your photo. He's like, you're so... And he's like literally gaslighting me, being like, you dumb bitch. Yeah, it's me. You should remember me. How can you not remember? And I sent a screenshot to my uni friend. And he was like, this guy has been catfishing people as me for years. Can you please keep messaging him? Like, I'm going to call the police. And the whole time he's like, we should have sex. Like, he was just like a total loser. And the crazy thing is, when we're in primary school, I beat up this boy because he was a jerk. Like, it was like, you know, school beat up. You know what I mean? Where you're like pushing and like everyone's like. So Anyways.
Well, all he really wanted you to do was sign up to his Yahoo website that he was providing. And
yeah, I know. He was going to get out his credit card, and I should have waited.
As soon as he saw that, he would have been fine.
Yeah.
All right, at the end of the game, the scores are Conchetta, 2 points. You're on 2 points.
Woo!
Damien Callinan, also, you're on 6 points. Also on 6 points, Will Anderson, which making our winner for the first time ever, Greg Larson, on 7 points.
Yeah, that happened.
He came back in the end. He was
yes!
Good work, Greggy.
Big Greg.
Did well.
I think I've done a little bit of a Bradbury, but people just kept not getting my questions, so good.
Now, Greg, because you win, you get to promote your podcast first. Where can people find Greg Larson?
You can listen to my podcast. It's called The Grub. It's with Ann Edmonds and Ben Russell. It's a sketch comedy podcast. We've got heaps of episodes up, but we do monthly episodes and also Patreon. We do weekly episodes. So The Grub, check it out.
Hit them up. Will Anderson, where can people find you?
Tofop.com is the place where all our podcasts are. So there's four of them at the moment, but 5 days a week, new episodes. And we have a brand new website with all the brilliant art of James Fosdyke on that website. So it's just worth checking out tofop.com.
Awesome. Conchetta, where can people find your stuff?
Well, my podcast is kind of on a hiatus, so you could listen to that, but don't expect anything new. That's called Get Over It. But you can find me on Instagram at Conchetta Worldwide or Twitter, Conchetta Cristo, just being awesome.
Very funny on Twitter, can I say.
Thank you so much. Wow.
And Damien Cullen, where can people find you?
My current podcast is the Bodgy Creek Community Podcast. There are previous seasons, the Bodgy Creek Football Club Podcast. It's a character-based narrative of the fictional township of Bodgy Creek brought to life in my one-man show and feature film, The Merger. It also has the occasional guest, including Will, appeared in a recent episode. We've had people like Ben Knight, Cal Wilson. That is enough.
Brilliant. Hey, thanks everyone for playing. Don't forget to support the show by becoming a Patreon subscriber. A brand new episode of Top 5 goes up every single Monday or Sunday, depending on how productive I've been. It's been lots of fun. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, that was fun.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.